Kinds of reasons could be suggested for that. Maybe we become too familiar with them. Maybe we have never been instructed concerning them. Or maybe we're just too lazy to do any digging to find out about them. I received an email this week from Dr. J.B. Hickson, who's one of the missionaries that we are supportive of with his ministry, Not by Works. And I just read this blog that he presented, and it blessed my heart and kind of picked my interest to share with you today. He says, a former student of mine serves as a pastor in Eastern Europe. Together with his wife and children, he planted a church in one of the most difficult and dangerous mission fields in the world today. He sent me a story about a 13-year-old orphan named Daniel who showed up at their church services recently alone and unannounced. Naturally, the church welcomed and embraced Daniel enthusiastically, and he's been coming to church by himself ever since. He's described as respectful, curious, and an honest young man. One Sunday in the middle of my friend's sermon, Daniel raised his hand and asked, "Who is the Savior?" My friend stopped the sermon and looked patiently at young Daniel and replied, "Jesus is our Savior, Daniel. He came to save us all." Moments later, the 13-year-old boy raised his hand again. Once again, my friend stopped his sermon and said, "Okay, Daniel, go ahead one more time." With a kind of honesty that can only come from an innocent child, Daniel asked, "Will Jesus be our Savior tomorrow too?" Praise God. We have a Savior today, and He will be my Savior tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow, even into eternity. Praise God for His mercy to us. Amen. The Bible says, while we were yet without strength, while we were still sinners, God manifested His love toward us by sending His Son to die for us that we might be redeemed. As we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate the gift of a Savior. But this morning, as we kind of address that first question that Daniel had, who is our Savior, I want to kind of come at it backwards in the sense of who is not our Savior. We are not our own Savior. You cannot save yourself. We are our own problem. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We are our own problem. We are not capable of being our own Savior. Number one, we are lacking in wisdom. Furthermore, our works, the best of them, are but filthy rags. And our resources are non-negotiable currency in the kingdom of God. Which is not to say that we do not have responsibility as stewards of what God has gifted us with to care for our own family and loved ones and for the poor. But the reality is the money that we have, the possessions, the resources that we have are not capable of ministering to the greatest need for a Savior, which is a spiritual need. Scripture reckons us all as dead in trespasses and sins. And you know what? Dead people can't save themselves. So, number one, we are not our own Savior. Number two, government is not our Savior. You know, one thing that President Trump has got right is government is not our Savior. Government is our problem. Government is not our Savior. God is the one that we are needing to look to care for and meet the deepest needs that we have. Dependence upon government leads to a rejection of dependence on Almighty God. There's a couple verses I would share with you. The first comes from Psalm 20, verse 7. It says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." If I were to modify that a little bit, some would say some trust in the federal government, some trust in the state government, and some trust in the local government, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Also, Proverbs 21:31 says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. And a thought that occurred to me as I was kind of reviewing my notes this morning for this was that I just have said that we are not our own Savior, and now I'm saying that government is not our Savior. And by the way, who is government? That's us. That's us. And so, no, we are not our Savior. Mankind in general, or mankind collectively, is not our Savior. In Genesis chapter 11, we get a view of this. We find that God had given a specific instruction. The instruction was to multiply, to scatter out, and to fill the earth. And so what did they do? Well, let me tell you what they did by quoting it right out of Genesis 11:4. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. God says, scatter. What did they say they were going to do? We're going to huddle up. We're going to do it right here, and we're going to build a tower right up into heaven, and we're going to say, one day, God, look, we're here. Aren't you proud of us? How many of you remember how that story ends? Somebody was saying, pass me a brick, and all of a sudden they couldn't understand what the other one was saying. God confused their language. God scattered them across the face of the earth. There's another time and instance I just called to our mind about man collectively, instead of accepting God as Savior, decided they'd come up with their own plan. You can read about it in Exodus 32. Moses was up on the mount with God on Mount Sinai. And he lingered a little longer than they thought he should be there. And so they come to a conclusion and came to Aaron and said, we need you to make us gods to take us back to Egypt. I want to ask you a question. What in the world had they been crying for 430 years prior to this? Whining before God, wanting to get out of Egypt. Now what are they doing? Now they want to go back. And so the result was, and one of the classic crazy statements in the Bible, when Aaron gives his explanation to Moses, he said, well, the people brought the gold, and I threw it into the fire, and out jumped this golden calf. God wasn't satisfied with man's collective effort to deliver himself. So mankind in general is not a Savior. Religion is not a Savior. In fact, the question I would ask you is, if you were going to look to religion to find a Savior, which one would you choose? Let me elaborate on this for just a second. You see, Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is relationship. Religion is man's many kinds of efforts to try to come up with either a physical object or a philosophy or some kind of process whereby they can have their own Savior, their own deliverer, and do their own thing. And therefore, when we talk about paganism, we almost immediately recognize their faulty faith and the confusion as well as the degeneracy that comes out of that. Medical science is not our Savior. We acknowledge that God has gifted man with an amazing mind and capacity to learn, to understand, to invent, and to proceed. But when it comes down to it, Dr. Eddie, when it comes down to it, medical science ultimately is not your Savior. Because you know what? People that go to doctors die. How many of you understand what I'm saying? People even that go to doctors with a serious problem and the doctor administers medical treatment to them and they come out and say, oh, he saved me. No, he just extended your life for a little while. Medical science cannot save anyone. Only Christ can save us. The saving that we're talking about is spiritual, and it is about eternity. One of the things that is going on, you may have read about it now in medical science, is transhumanism. And transhumanism is a plan that's being put together now whereby scientists are going to put computers and computer power into our brains and enable us to be superhuman. Let me ask you a question. If that were to happen, who would you want to volunteer to get the fix? And whoever got the fix, how many of you think you might be distrustful of what they might do with it if they, in fact, had that? And so we've looked and we find out that we are not our own Savior. Government is not our Savior. Mankind in general is not our Savior. Religion is not our Savior. And medical science is not our Savior. So as Daniel asked, who is then our Savior? Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 11. Isaiah, one of God's prophets, speaking to the subject, says, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. In Hosea chapter 13 and verse 4, yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. Friends, the Old Testament prophets, and we could list off the major and minor prophets and recognize again and again and again, they pointed man to God as Savior, and now we begin to get an understanding. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. The angel Gabriel is going to give us some understanding about who is our Savior. Luke 1, 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. An angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, what? Jesus. What does Jesus mean? Jehovah is salvation. Mary, your son, is God, salvation. Jehovah is salvation. Mary, if you look to chapter 1 and over to verse 46, it says, And Mary said, in what we call her Magnificat, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Mary acknowledges by the Spirit of God that indeed the very child she is carrying is her Savior. Look with me to Matthew chapter 1, and we again find Angel Gabriel speaking now to Joseph. In Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And thou shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall, what? Save his people from their sins. If there were any question about Jesus, meaning Jehovah's salvation, if there were any question wondering whether this Jesus was any different from any other Jesus, born in Bible times at that point in time. This should help clarify the subject, because this Jesus, who is virgin born, has been sent for the purpose of saving his people from their sins. The angels told the shepherds, Luke 2:11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a what? A Savior, which is who? Christ the Lord." I continue, and this week it's kind of been mulling around in my head over and over again, the wonder of this visit to the shepherds. Shepherds were on the bottom of the social ladder. They were out there, as it were, minding their own business. And their life was tremendously interrupted by this visitation. And with this heavenly host and their proclamation that is before them, when they were told, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord," think about what ran through their mind right then. What would have gone through your mind? Let's be honest this morning. Do we typically think of a baby as being a Savior? Who do we anticipate being a Savior? A deliverer? It's a grown man. It's a mature person. And these shepherds are told, "Born unto you a Savior." And you'll find that Savior wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Go check it out. And they went. You know what the scripture says? After they went and saw it, they went and advertised it. They passed on the good news. And so they were sharing to people, "Unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The New Testament writers, by the power of the Holy Spirit, communicate about this subject of a Savior. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 through 10. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given unto us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Savior Jesus Christ is being identified. Titus 1:4 says, Paul writing to Titus, "Mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior." Titus 3, turn with me if you would to Titus 3 and verse 4. "But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior." Turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. As we look at 2 Peter, looking at verses 1 and 2. "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ." Revelation chapter 5. Turn with me. Revelation 5:1. "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. May I take you back to where we started the message? Who is not our Savior? And this very declaration that is given right here is declaring to us, no man in heaven, nor earth, nor under the earth is worthy of opening this book or look thereon. I wept much, John writes, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast what? Redeemed us. You have saved us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, saying, and beasts, and the elders, the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, literally millions, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb, the Savior, that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all them that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing, and honor, and glory, and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Friends, listen to me. When those shepherds looked into that manger, what did they see? No, a Savior. A Savior that would redeem from all kindreds, tribes, nations, from every part of the earth, and a one who is alone worthy of all glory and honor and blessing. Friends, when we're celebrating Christmas, don't limit yourself to a babe in a manger. See a Savior of mankind. Look big, if you please. Look beyond the immediate into the eternal. Well, little Daniel, according to the blog, says, will he be our Savior tomorrow too? I got good news for you. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What are we doing as we're gathered here today? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I believe you're looking for your Savior to come again. And as we look for him, we have his promise that he's going to come. In the book of Philippians, I love this message that is granted to us here. Philippians 3:20, for our conversation, literally our citizenship, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. What kind of a Savior do we have? The Jews wanted a Savior from Roman power, right? People today, in many cases, want a Savior who would save the economy, or that would save from having a world war, or on and on and on. But what we are anticipating is a Savior who will end all that is man's need of a Savior and give us a glorified body in his presence forever, and who will come and rule and reign on this earth, and we will rule and reign with him. Scripture says, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Will he be your Savior tomorrow too? Amen. Amen. So let me ask a question. Is Jesus your Savior today? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Now listen to me, guys. It is one thing to have head knowledge. It's an entirely different thing to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, which is not a mental thing. It is a spiritual thing. It is a miracle in which you who have been dead are now alive, and as a born-again believer, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Now you know God, you have the mind of God, and you're able to live for God, and you're able to see and know and experience his power to save you daily. Not just when you die, and not just for heaven, but to save you daily in the battles that you go through, to be your sufficiency for every test and every trial that comes your way. He is your Savior, and he wants to be that kind of a Savior in your life. How can he be your Savior? Well, most of you have probably heard this before, but in case there's one that has not, it's as easy as ABC. A, admit you are a sinner and you cannot save yourself. All we like sheep have what? We read it this morning in Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone into his own ways. What's the good news? But God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Admit you're a sinner and you cannot save yourself. There's none righteous, not even one. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone needs a Savior. And everyone without a Savior is lost. This Christmas, many people will have celebrations. They'll gather around the tree. They'll have family get-togethers. And in many, many, many of those situations, there may be either only one or two or a minority, or there may be everyone in that circle lost, celebrating the birth of a Savior, supposedly. How sad is that? You know, the thing that struck me when I read that blog was, here's this little guy, 13 years old. He's an orphan. And who is our Savior? But what followed is, you know what? There's a gob of people in America that don't have a clue who is our Savior. Many of them think they are their own Savior. Or they're so good they don't need a Savior. We need to admit we're a sinner and we cannot save ourselves. Secondly, we need to believe what God's word says, that God so loved that he sent his only begotten son, that God as man came and lived here among us. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Christ lived a perfect sinless life. He died a sacrificial death, and he rose victoriously. And we must believe as a very depth heart response to the truth, convicted by the Holy Spirit, that we're a sinner, cannot save ourselves. We repent. We cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the gospel in a nutshell tells us a bit about that. Paul writes, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We must believe according to what the Scripture says. A, admit. B, believe. C, confess. What is a confession about? Confession is you publicly, outwardly, are saying exactly what A and B have already said. Here I am. I'm in need of a Savior. And I am trusting in Christ alone for my salvation. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 10, 10b, Jesus speaking says, I've come that you might have life, that you might have it what? More abundantly. The Scripture says, 1 John 5, 15, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Question. Do you have Jesus as your Savior today? Are you sure? Are you confident? Are you beyond a shadow of a doubt, trusting that if you died right now, you'd wake up in heaven? That's what knowing Jesus as Savior gives us. Paul said, for me to be absent from the body, boom, present with the Lord. And Paul said something else. If I had my druthers, I'd already rather be there. But in the meantime, it's more beneficial for me to be here and minister to others this morning. Who is our Savior? That's weak. That's lame. Let's start over again. Who is our Savior? Will he be our Savior tomorrow too? How long will he be our Savior? How many are signed up for forever? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what